Let us pray. You keep your eye upon us, O God. You protect us as a shield. You give us hope in spite of the disquiet that lingers within us. You lift our spirits and make us glad. All creation sings your praise, and we, your people, laud your name. Hear us as we worship this hour, and speak to us here this evening. For we seek to be filled with your spirit as we hear the word preached and made alive by your abiding word. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this evening comes from the book of Isaiah, reading from the 53rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. Listen now for God's word. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. And then from the book of Romans, beginning at the 4th chapter, verse 23, through chapter 5, verse 11. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The story is told of a bricklayer who was hurt on the job and was required by his boss to submit in writing what happened and then to request the appropriate sick leave. And so the man wrote as follows. I arrived at the job after the storm, checked the building out, and saw that the top needed repairs. I rigged a hoist and a boom, attached the rope to a barrel, and pulled bricks up to the top. When I pulled the barrel to the top, I secured the rope at the bottom. After repairing the building, I went back to fill the barrel with the leftover bricks. I went down and released the rope to lower the bricks, and the barrel was heavier than I and jerked me off the ground. I decided to hang on. Halfway up, I met the barrel coming down and received a blow to the shoulder. I hung on and went to the top, where I hit my head on the boom and caught my finger in the pulley. In the meantime, the barrel hit the ground and burst open, throwing bricks all over. This made the barrel lighter than I, and I started down at a high rate of speed. Halfway down, I met the barrel coming up and received a blow to my shins. I continued down and fell on the bricks, receiving cuts and bruises. At this time, I must have lost my presence of mind because I let go of the rope, and the barrel came down and hit me on the head. I respectfully request sick leave. Now, have you ever had a day like that? In some ways, life is like that, isn't it? The trials and tribulations of life can seem like an endless series of accidents, all of which leave you scarred and in pain. Perhaps no one ever told us life would be easy, but did any of us ever consider that life might be so hard? Where do we turn in times of such perplexity, in times when personal examination leads us to the edge of despair? Bishop James Armstrong of the United Methodist Church once observed, "The supreme test of faith is what we do with our suffering." I would only add to that a list of other struggles in life, such as disappointment and grief and loneliness and fear. And in this season of Lent, I think it appropriate that we as Christians spend some time in reflection upon this issue. After all, Lent is a season of personal introspection about our faith, or rather, the weakness thereof. And those things that seem to work against a closer relationship to God. And so we might rightly ask, how can we find peace and joy and hope in this world of pain and misery and despair? It is precisely this question the Apostle Paul tackles in our lesson from the book of Romans. In this text, Paul shares with us the outcome of Christ's death on the cross and subsequent resurrection. He reminds us that Christ died to save us from sin and separation from God. He took upon himself our sin and paid the cost of it even unto death. So Paul so eloquently puts it, God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in so doing, Paul points out, we who are unrighteous by our sin have been made righteous through Christ. Therefore, Paul concludes, since we are justified, that is, vindicated and acquitted of our sin by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Wow. What a mouthful. Paul can talk. But what does all that mean? Well, very simply, it means that because we now stand in a right relationship with God, not of our own doing, but of God's, we have at our disposal God's grace and love and safekeeping. It means that ultimately nothing can destroy us. Elsewhere, in speaking on this same theme, Paul wrote, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed; perplexed, but not driven to despair; persecuted, but not forsaken; struck down, but not destroyed." To be a Christian is to know that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God. Do you see what that means for our living in these days? Our faith is not a faith of escapism, which seeks to deny that our suffering is real. Nor is it a kind of stoicism which just encourages us to buck up and bear it with pride. No, the heart of our faith is that Christ embraced our suffering on the cross of Calvary, and that by his resurrection bore witness to the fact that suffering does not have the final say. He demonstrated for us all that God makes it possible to live through the suffering and the disappointment and the fear and the despair of this world, because in faith we can know that none of these things has the power to defeat us. And this is how Paul can come to say, as he does in this passage of Scripture, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine being able to say, as Paul did, we rejoice in our sufferings? He did not mean that we can come to be able to enjoy suffering. That would be masochism. No, he means that when we truly begin to see that through Christ's death and resurrection, God has demonstrated that pain and suffering have no lasting claim over our lives, we can begin to view our suffering and disappointments in life as opportunities to bear witness to a power greater than our sufferings, full of grace and love. We can demonstrate through our sufferings to the world that our hope and faith is placed in that one who overcame his suffering to know life abundant. Earl Stanley Jones, the noted missionary evangelist to India and writer, suffered a stroke near the end of his life. And he wrote his final book about that experience and entitled it, The Divine Yes. And here's an excerpt. "The most amazing thing that came out of the shattered remnants of that night, the night of the stroke, was this. I could go on. I could still be a witness. Through this shattered situation, I was to write still another book. The text and the texture were clear and breathtaking. The title of this book was to be The Divine Yes. Now I must say, this divine yes through the shattering no of a stroke. Now I must apply what I have been preaching through the years, that no matter what happens to us, the final result depends on how we take it. Here I was to be called upon to illustrate and apply the good news, the divine yes, in the fact of the bad news life has to offer, a no. Can two more contradictory things be wrapped up into one event? Can contribution come out of collapse? In the Christian faith," he wrote, "can it still be the divine yes no matter what happens? I found my numbed body and stunned mind taking fire with the possibility of going out of this life with a divine yes on my lips as my last word and message. A divine yes when life was saying a human no." That would be a contribution for tomorrow. As Timothy Lull from Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary wrote, without the cross, without the promise of God confirmed in Jesus, this would be sick talk indeed. But because Christians have received at the very heart of their lives love beyond their deserving, that grace allows a reconsideration of our troubles. Burdens may be great, but they can be borne in the company of that God whose love has become credible on the cross. Well, Isaiah put it in a song long ago. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. Christ is our co-partner in suffering and our means of moving beyond that suffering to life abundant. When the troubles of our world are stilled by the presence of God in Christ, when we remember that God's promise is being fulfilled in faithfulness even to the limits of death, then we can take courage. We are set free, not only to love others, but also to think about our troubles in a new way. The woman or man who has found peace with God in Christ Jesus no longer has to keep a list of all the wrongs that he or she has experienced. That there have been some, perhaps even many, will be certainly true. But Christ has been there, tasting for us a death that he did not deserve. And so I pray that you will discover anew that peace which passes all understanding, whereby you may experience the love and mercy of God even in the midst of the trials of life, and thus have opportunity to demonstrate the powerful presence of God even in the midst of the trials of life. Let us pray. Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it so that we become instruments of your redeeming love. Amen.